is Entrepreneur Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, a special treat for me. The boss is in the house. Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. You know what's great about Entrepreneur Media is it is growing and expanding and exploding. You think the eclipse of the sun was something, you should check out entrepreneur.com. It's insanity. Jason Pfeiffer. So, and the reason why I'm saying that is because the media world is continuing to evolve. And I just found out, I know Jason does a podcast called Problem Solvers. We're going to talk about that. But he not only does one podcast, he does two podcasts. Now, I not only do one radio show, I do two radio shows for Entrepreneur, and those are also podcasts. And then there's the Entrepreneur Podcasting Network, of which we have tons of other podcasts, like my friend David Meltzer, who does, what is David Meltzer's podcast called? I know he's got
The Playbook.
The Playbook. He's got Sports One Marketing with Warren Moon. You know, I mean, the stuff you guys are doing is off the hook. It's so helpful. It is such a go-to place for not only entrepreneurs, but people that want to be entrepreneurs, that are afraid to take that step, that kind of get a chance to put their toe in the water and hear what it's like to live the life that we live as entrepreneurs. And I think that's really important. I mean, last week I talked to the guy that was in the September issue, Matt Scanlon, who was, they went to Mongolia and they took $3 million cash, so much cash in Mongolia that they couldn't even see over it in the back of a Toyota Land Cruiser. It was stacked in plastic bags. They went to six banks. You guys check out that podcast because by now it's already podcast. In the magazine, by the way, it's called A World Class Yarn. It's a 5 or 6 page story in the September issue, but it's also online. You guys can find it. This guy, Matt Scanlon and Dietrich Reisman, the however you say his last name, amazing young guys in their 20s, what they have accomplished to completely disrupt the cashmere market. The stories of how people do these things and follow their passions come alive. And that is the beauty of what we're doing with Entrepreneur and Entrepreneur Media, podcast and video and audio and stories and live events. And I'm just proud to be a part of the team, Jason.
Hey, man, we're delighted to have you as part of the team. I love that intro. And, you know, I should say, because, you know, you were talking about how to dipping your toe in and getting that entrepreneurial juice flowing. And for me, I actually got quite a good amount of insight into exactly that kind of thing, how you jump in, how you work your way into something through podcasting. And I write about this in our October issue, in fact, so I'm just going to give everybody a little preview of it. But I took up podcasting not knowing how to do it, not knowing if it was going to ever pay off for me, if it was just going to be a gigantic waste of time. About a year ago, I wanted to start a podcast. I wanted to figure it out. And so I started asking around. I started reading. I got myself a used microphone and figured out some recording equipment. And I created this podcast not having any idea whether or not it would pay off. You know, I think that people sometimes think too much about ROI. Like, is it, you know, am I going to get a return on this time that I spent learning this new thing? Is this going to pay off for me? And I got to say, I think that's the wrong way to look at it. What you should do is go out and just think about building new skills. Just learn something new because it will be valuable in ways that you don't even know. And so I picked up podcasting. I started my own podcast. I went about a full year just making this thing. It honestly didn't make me a dime. This one's called Pessimist's Archive. It's a whole lot of fun. It's just something I do on the side. It's a history of unfounded fears of technology. And then here I am sitting at Entrepreneur doing my day job, and we start having a conversation about starting podcasts in-house, starting a podcast network, right? Now, suddenly, because I started this thing on the side, which hadn't made me a dime, I'm now the in-house expert on podcasting.
Right.
And I know how to build these things. And so now we're making this second show, Problem Solvers. It already has sponsors. It's doing great. And it's all because I learned about this thing without knowing how it was going to pay off. So, so important.
I love it. I love it. And you know what? You never know. That's why don't let the fact that there's not any money in it to begin with, stop you from doing something that you're passionate about. Let your voice be heard. I'm proud of you, brother. I'm proud of you because, you know, I'm a lifelong radio guy. And
that's right.
To have
you just got to jump in and try.
You do. You just got the water's warm. Come on in, everybody. We'll take a little break here. You're listening to Entrepreneur Radio, part of the Entrepreneur Network. And you guys, there's tons and tons of content that you can consume. Snackable content for the hungry brain is what I say. We're going to take a little break and be right back with more of the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine right here on Entrepreneur Radio. Well, we're talking with the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, Jason Pfeiffer, entrepreneur.com on the web. Entrepreneur Magazine at newsstands everywhere. I'm Alan Taylor. Jason, his podcast show is called Problem Solvers. And I would love for you to tell people a little bit about what they can expect from the podcast Problem Solvers.
Absolutely. So Problem Solvers is this new show. It's a weekly show. It comes out every Monday morning. You could go to iTunes or wherever you get podcasts and just type in Problem Solvers. You'll find it. And Problem Solvers, every week we look at how an entrepreneur solved an unexpected problem in their business. Every week, every show, it's a different problem and somebody who solved it. And we do it in this great radio-produced way. So it's me telling a story and you hear from the entrepreneur throughout. And we get into not just how they built the business, but then when they slammed into some problem that they didn't see coming, how they made it their way through. And I thought that that was such an important distillation of the experience of entrepreneurship. You know, I love talking about that stuff because the experience of being an entrepreneur is the experience of solving problems. Mm-hmm. They come out of nowhere, they slam right into your face, and the people who are most successful at whatever business in whatever industry are the ones who just know how to stay nimble on their feet and solve problems as they come up and they don't get shaken. So, you know, my hope is that this show is inspirational, but also just gives people a feeling that they're not lonely, you know, that they're not alone in facing these problems. In fact, I say the most recent episode, which we can talk about, I'll shut up in a second here, but the most recent episode that we can talk about, I just heard from a friend of mine who runs a Portland, Oregon-based ice cream company called 50 Licks, I think. I got to check that. Anyway, he said that he's going through exactly this problem that he heard in the most recent episode, and he listened to it twice because he related to it so much. And when I hear stuff like that, I think, man, that's we're really connecting.
I love it. I love it. I interviewed a guy named Chinadu Achiro, who's a billionaire. As a matter of fact, he developed an app that Apple bought for $1 billion, right? And because he just was trying to solve a problem, which was when the trains were coming back and forth. And so he decided to develop an app. And of course, guess who was trying to develop an app or was in development of an app was Apple. And they're like, crap, his app is better than ours. So we better buy it, shut it down, take the good. Anyway, I mean, his story though is so amazing that after I said, how did that change your life? You know, after they, you know, this gigantic influx of money. And he's like, he's from Africa and, you know, he came from like nothing. He said that he remembers when he used to carry a bucket of water to wash his face and brush his teeth. And now he's a billionaire, right? Young guy.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, he decided he wanted to become an entrepreneur. And it's so interesting that your podcast is called Problem Solvers because he said, when he said this to his mother, he said, his mother said, do you know what an entrepreneur is? And he thought about it and he said, well, yes, I do. But, you know, she put it into perfect words. She says, entrepreneurs are problem solvers. And I thought to myself, see, I had never heard that until, you know, Chinadu's mothers told him and he told me. And now evidently, you know that because that's what you
Yeah. Well, it's funny. It's a good line. I mean, I always say when people ask me for a definition of entrepreneurs, I always say it's people who make things happen for themselves. But making things happen for yourself is solving problems.
Right.
You know, you don't just make it and then there it is, right? I mean, nothing comes easy. And there are two ways. It's interesting the way that you kind of were riffing off of problem solvers there. There are, of course, two ways to think about problem solving in entrepreneurship. Number one is that any business is solving a problem for people, right? So you identify some problem out there, and then you build a business to solve that problem. That
right.
It could be that there's this kind of product isn't out there in the market, or that this thing doesn't work as well as it should. You build a product that people love and then that solves the problem. That's actually not the thing that we talk about on the episode, because that kind of problem solving is every company's origin story, right?
Sure.
And then what we really have is a show about origin stories. So the problems that we are talking about are, for example, you know, I launched and then I realized that I had my inventory system all wrong and suddenly I had no product for everybody. Or, you know, I launched it. We have this one episode. It's my favorite one of the bunch right now. Oh, that's out so far. There's this woman named Kristen who launched a company called Dough, and that's D-O with a line on top of it. And she launched, it's a cookie dough company. You walk in there, it looks like it's ice cream, but it's actually cookie dough, raw cookie dough. She scoops it out, she puts it into a cup, and you walk away with, you know, a blast of sugar in your face. It's awesome stuff. But here's the thing. She launched, and then it went viral, like millions and millions of people watching videos about it online. There were 4-hour lines out the door. She had to figure out how to solve that problem.
I love it.
Inventory, changing staffing. That is hard stuff.
Exactly. We're talking with the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine and podcast genius, Jason Pfeiffer.
Right.
Is a podcast. One of them is called Problem Solvers. This is Entrepreneur Radio. There's more right after this break.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Radio after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Radio. Here's Alan Taylor.
And our editor-in-chief of the magazine is Jason Pfeiffer. He's on the line with us, entrepreneur.com. Don't forget to pick up episodes of the show, this show, at entrepreneur.com or anywhere podcasts are available. Also, you can check out Problem Solvers. Jason is the host of that. And the magazine, newsstands everywhere, entrepreneur.com. All right, so you have Problem Solvers. I want to hear one more story, because the idea is, you know, the more we get people to understand what we do and that we love what we do, I think that, you know, we're putting kind of a lamp under their feet of where they can find the answers and do it in a fun way. Because I'm having fun talking to you, brother. I love what I do.
Yeah, you do. That's right. That's right. You know, if you love what you do, you're passionate about it. You can hear it in the voice.
That's
you
it.
You know, listen to us. We're talking at high energy here.
That's it. All right. So another episode. We got the one where I got to go check that out because, you know, I live in Oregon. So. Dough? Is it? I thought it was going to be
The
Simpsons.
No. So Dough is in. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, no. We're mixing up our sweets. So
okay.
Dough is in New York City.
Oh, okay.
Dough's in New York
okay.
City. Oregon, Portland is where my buddy and I checked it out. He's an old friend from high school named Chad Drazen. He runs 50 Licks in Portland, Oregon.
50 so, Licks.
Go,
I'm going.
50
bud.
Licks. Go in there. Go in there and say your say his old bandmate sent you.
Okay.
And the show that Chad said that he really related to was our most recent episode of Problem Solvers, which was about a company called Camp No Counselors. And the thing that Camp No Counselors, a guy named Adam Tischauer started Camp No Counselors, it's a sleepaway camp for adults. So 20-somethings go out to a summer camp for the weekend and, you know, get trashed and who knows what happens. But it's, you know, it's a lot of fun, and he's built a great business out of it. And Adam ran into this problem. And the problem is that his company, when it was small, he was able to be camp director at every camp. And he had this vision, and he was able to really control what was going on and make sure that it executed according to the vision of the company. But when a company becomes too big, how do you, as a leader, scale yourself so that you can make sure that everybody is still marching to the same vision? That's a really, really hard challenge, and every company deals with it. Chad at 50 Licks is dealing with it.
Yep.
And, you know, the answer, as Adam talks about it, is that you can't replace yourself with other people. You have to replace yourself with a system. A system that you can still be a part of, but that makes sure that everybody who works for you is checking in the right way and is being trained properly and that the feedback loop is correct, and so that everybody is still attached to the mission of the company, even though you can't be personally there to execute it.
Right. You know what's brilliant about this is that sometimes for those of us who are in the industry, we'll mm-hmm. call it the thought leadership industry, we talk over the heads of those who are early stages, you know, not so much startup, but ready to duplicate. Okay. Something is working and now we want to duplicate. So how do we duplicate ourselves? Like you said, with systems and processes, because we are what is successful about our company, what we have done. We have to distill that down into a system and a process that somebody else can follow. And that's what
right.
people need to hear that, because I had that problem. I still look at you and I both trying to do 50 things at once all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I know. And I'm sure with your business it happens. It certainly happens with me where I don't know the places always where I'm supposed to step aside and replace with the system. And so instead, everything gets backlogged behind me.
Right.
You know, at some point.
You're the bottleneck.
Yeah, exactly. You're the bottleneck. At some point, when your company grows too big, you become a problem.
Yes.
You become a problem. And then you got to solve the problem that is yourself.
God, what a horrible problem to have. All right. Let's talk about Pessimist's Archive, your personal podcast.
That's right. This is my side project, but people can check it out as well. I hope you do. So here's the thing about Pessimist Archive. It is, as I say, a history of unfounded fears of technology. In each episode, we look at a moment that a new piece of technology was introduced and try to understand why it freaked everybody out. So that could be the Walkman. We did an episode on recorded music, on the horseless carriage. The thing is, Alan, and this is the point that I'm trying to make over and over again with this show, the thing is that when you look around today, you hear people say things like, Google is making us stupid, and Facebook makes us lonely, and the iPhone is destroying our attention spans, and all that stuff. And man, if you go back through history, people said the exact same things about technology that today we wouldn't blink at.
Right.
They said the same stuff. They were afraid of stuff that today we couldn't even imagine people being afraid of. And the point that I want to make, that I want everyone to take home with them, is this. We're all going to be okay. It's all okay, right? The fears that you hear are not earth-shattering. Nobody is falling from the sky. The sky is not falling. We are all going to be okay. We repeat these fears over and over again. And I think that the more that we understand that we're repetitive, that we're repeating ourselves, the less we can actually fear the stuff in front of us and start to embrace innovation and understand how it can work for us.
You know what? Brilliant. And I'll tell you what, I think the next one of those big things that's freaking everybody out right now is autonomous cars.
Yes.
And you know what? 20 years from now, we'll be laughing about it as we're driving down the road, or as the car is driving us down the road.
You know what's really funny about the fear about autonomous cars is that when people were fearing that cars were replacing horses, one of the things that they said was that the horse can drive you home by itself. They were talking about horses the way that we now talk about autonomous cars. It knows where it's going.
Right.
It can take care of you, right? And they didn't want to get away from that. They liked that about horses, and they thought that cars were dangerous because cars didn't know where they were going.
That's
and now
awesome.
Here we are. We have
That's
cars awesome. That don't know where they're going.
Pessimist Archive, Jason Pfeiffer, his side hustle. It's brilliant. I can't wait to listen. Also, Problem Solvers, all part of Entrepreneur and the Entrepreneur Network. Jason, you're
search
the best, man.
Wherever you get podcasts, man. Anywhere you get podcasts. iTunes, wherever. Search those things. You'll find it.
Beautiful. That's Jason Pfeiffer. He is the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thank you, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. We'll take a little break. More Entrepreneur Radio, 2 hours a week on national radio stations and always available on podcast. We'll be right back.
Still believe in one another.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Radio. Here's Alan Taylor.
Have you noticed how your attention span is getting shorter and shorter? It's actually shorter than a goldfish's attention span. And social networks are fighting tooth and nail for every second of our time. And it's interesting. It's the evolution of mankind because of all these devices we have. We're looking for snackable content more and more and more. Our next guest, his name is Richard Rabbat. He is the CEO and co-founder of Jiffy Cat. He received his PhD from MIT before taking positions at Fujitsu, Google, Zynga, and Tango. And at Google, Richard led the Make the Web Faster initiative. Let's just talk about this for a second, Richard. This is very, very interesting. And I want maybe because of your background, you could comment on the fact that, you know, why is it that our attention spans are getting shorter and shorter these days? Is it because of all this eye candy that we have available to us through our devices? You know, they're with us 24 hours a day, it seems.
Hi, happy to be here. Yes, and as a matter of fact, like, you know, once we put a computer in our pocket, we basically started thinking, We have access to information at all times.
Right.
We pull, on average, our phone from our pocket about 85 times a day. And many times we're just sending a short text, or we want to consume something, and then we want to figure out what's happening, and then just move on with our daily life.
You know what's funny is I got in at 2:30 this morning. I was on a long trip. I went to bed, and all of a sudden I was laying there sleeping, and I went, and I snored, and I woke myself up. And I look over at 5 o'clock in the morning, and my wife's on her phone looking at Facebook. And I go, what are you doing? And she says, I'm looking at Facebook. And I said, it's dark. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. She goes, so what? You were snoring so loud. You woke me up. So it's like it's with us all the time. So what did I do? What do you think I did? I had like 2.5 hours sleep. I started looking at Facebook, too. We're addicted to this stuff. It's hilarious. Ay, ay, ay.
It is amazing. Like we are looking for constant information. We're always, you know, the fear of missing out.
FOMO. Yeah.
We want to make sure we know everything about everything.
What is Jiffy Cat?
So Jiffy Cat was built on the premise that just like there's a YouTube for long form video, there should be a place for people to come and create GIFs and user generated content that people can create easily, fast, and then share it on social networks, on messaging, anywhere they want.
Mm. And GIF, G-I-F, this is a small video that doesn't have any audio, that just kind of keeps going in a loop. And it's like almost like a lure to attract our attention, right?
Yes. I mean, our eyes are always attracted to motion. And because there's no sound, there's very little friction in the sharing because you know you're not going to annoy the person on the other end. They're probably in situations where they cannot hear sound. So the soundless format works very, very well for mobile.
Hmm. It's interesting because I notice it just seems like, I don't know what day it was, maybe 3 or 4 days ago. I mean, this literally within this last week, I was flipping through Facebook and it seemed like, if not every other or every third, for, you know, it would be like 1, 2, 3 videos. And they were all moving. They were all moving. It wasn't there where you had to touch it. So those were all GIFs. Those were all there to attract my attention. But it literally felt like everything on Facebook was a video playing. And is that something that has been kind of evolving and changing and growing?
Yeah. So Facebook believes that like their future is going to be video.
Mm.
And they've done a lot of studies. Like it turns out that most of the people consume the video with no sound. And because of the feed itself, like, you know, the ability for people to just like scroll and their need to make sure that they're reading everything, they don't spend much time on each of the stories. So Facebook has been giving guidance to people that are creating video and putting it on Facebook that to make sure that they put the main message of the video in the first 3 to 4 seconds, because that's kind of like the attention span that people have in the newsfeed.
I saw an article the other day, New York Times article. It says 8 second attention span, 8 seconds. And if you don't catch it in that between what, you know, 3 or 4, 5, 6, 8, eight's like long at this point. It used to be, you know, it used to be much longer, obviously. But today it's like a flash. If you don't catch somebody, you've lost them. This is kind of bizarre. I mean, what are we going to do about it is a question.
But in many ways, like these were times that you had nothing to do. Like you're standing in the Starbucks line.
Right.
And you have nothing. You're like looking awkwardly at people around you. And like now you have like the ability to kind of like get out of these awkward situations and be busy, pretend to be busy. So these are things that where people did not use that time for consumption, and now they do.
So why do you think attention spans are getting shorter and have gotten shorter over time? What is it? Is it our technology? Is that the main cause?
Yeah, I think in many ways it is. Like when we had PCs, like the internet is such an amazing revolution, but you had to be behind the PC to consume any kind of internet content.
Right.
And now that you have it in your pocket, you're thinking, oh, like, I can see something. I want to get to hear more, see more of what's happening around me. And you want to, like, get updates as fast as possible from many, many sources. Like, it used to be like you got your news from the local radio station, newspaper, but now you have access to everything, and it's within your reach at all times.
So really, it's like a war, and my question to you is, which social media network is poised to win this war?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I think the companies that have done very well in terms of short content are companies like Snapchat, where the video is 10 seconds, and, you know, the stories are being copied now by Instagram. I think it's a combination of who's got an audience and who can provide the best content for that audience at all times.
Mm.
It's going to play out in the next few years.
What's going to play out? Explain why you think that.
It used to be that, especially on messaging, people used messaging as just a way to communicate. And now you can see early changes, like changes that have happened in Asia that are coming here, where messaging has become basically the way to consume content. Mm. And with the changes now, people are fighting for eyeballs, like these short bursts of eyeball time.
Right.
And, you know, they want to reach you at all times, and, you know, reach you with content that's coming organically or content that people are paying for, advertising, brand content.
Well, it's interesting. I didn't realize my wife was winning the battle on my snoring by Facebooking in the middle of the night. I learned that last night. And then, of course, we got up and had coffee this morning, and we were sitting on opposite sides of the kitchen. Again, Facebook, not talking. It's a problem. It's a real problem. What are you going to do about it? I got to learn how to put it down. That's what I got to do. We're going to take a break, come back and talk a little bit more with Jiffy Cat CEO and founder, Richard Rabat. We'll be right back.
Get the latest issue of Entrepreneur Magazine delivered right to your door. Visit entrepreneur.com and subscribe today.
Question is, do you have a short attention span? I do. And it just seems like it's getting shorter and shorter. It's because there's so many shiny objects. Squirrel? Remember that? The dog that sees a squirrel? That's me with my phone these days. Our guest right now, Richard Rabat. He is the CEO and co-founder of Jiffy Cat. And that is spelled, by the way, G-F-Y-C-A-T. And it soft G, Jiffy Cat. .com. What do you guys do, Richard, at Jiffy Cat? Tell us about Jiffy Cat.
So Jiffy Cat, we built a company based on the premise that people love to create content, but making GIFs is super hard. People have to download very complex software like Photoshop to make content. And instead, what we focused on is the amount of video content that you have on your laptop, on your phone, and basically creating an easy way for people to make GIFs out of these long-form videos. Mm. In a way, it's democratized the GIF-making process. It used to be like a few artists could make GIFs. Now it's millions of people. We have about 3 million unique creators that have created content, 40 million pieces of content on JiffyCat.com that people
Whoa.
Can access either through... Yeah, it's amazing. People love to create content when you give them an easy way to create it.
How many monthly users or unique visitors do you have at Jiffy Cat?
So we reach about 80 million unique users over a period of a month.
Oh my gosh, you guys are killing it. So what you're saying here, and the reason why I felt this was important, is because with our short attention spans, the GIF or GIF, the G-I-F, whatever you want to call it, is the future of communication, even in business, for us entrepreneurs, and maybe even more so in business?
Yes, because we have a way to reach people that were unreachable, or as people change their a habit from I'm going to like sit back, relax, and watch like an hour on YouTube to something much more interesting in terms of I have a minute here and a minute there, and I want to use it. I want to have my mind constantly reinvigorated and excited about stuff.
Golly, unbelievable numbers you guys are turning. And user-generated content you're using, or how are you guys doing this?
Yeah, so people come, they have a video that they upload, and they say, hey, I'm going to cut these 2 seconds that uniquely share a funny moment, an exciting experience, and then we basically give them a link that they go and put on social networks, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Reddit, and that creates a very nice virtuous circle where people that see the content somewhere else, they click and they say, okay, I want to see more of that content. And they come to jiffycat.com and they consume more of that content.
Mm, amazing. Absolutely amazing. And at the end of the day, is there a place you would tell people, you know, I mean, maybe it's your website, JiffyCat, G-F-Y-C-A-T.com, where they can learn more about how to use the GIF or GIF, G-I-F, to help them in their businesses?
Yes. I mean, for some partners, we help them understand how to create content that works very well with no sound and with, you know, any short period of time. So some partners will, you know, bring some B-rolls, like long form, and then we say, here are the things that we think are going to be important. Here are the reactions. These are the emotions that really speak to your audience in these 2-3 seconds. For example, like, you know, if you're looking at a ketchup brand, like, you know, what is the, you know, what is the unique part of maybe squeezing the ketchup bottle to like get some, that's something that people will share.
Right.
Or, the, you know, a soda pop opening. Those are the things that people want to share. So we help them understand what content is going to work and help them make it sometimes.
Well, there you go. You guys check out JiffyCat, G-F-Y-C-A-T. And maybe Richard and his team can help you to understand the art and science of a GIF, GIF or GIF, whatever you guys want to call it. Amazing. 80. No, did you say 80 million unique users a month?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you're doing something.
We're very humbled by our user base.
Yeah. I think that is absolutely amazing. All right, Richard. Thank you very much. JiffyCat.com. Check it out. When we come back, we're going to, no problem, we're going to talk with Chase Jarvis. He's going to ask some of your questions again. Chase Jarvis does the Daily Creative, and he does it right here on Entrepreneur Radio. Coming up next, this is Entrepreneur Radio.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Radio after these messages. Entrepreneur Radio. Here's Alan Taylor.
It is now time to answer some of your questions here on Entrepreneur Radio with my friend Chase Jarvis from The Daily Creative. Chase is the co-founder of Creative Live, the world's leading online education platform for creatives and entrepreneurs like you and I. You can find Chase in everything he does, along with over 10,000 hours of creative content to help you to be a better entrepreneur or person at creativelive.com. Our question today comes from Matt, and Matt has worked in the TV and film industry for almost 9 years now. He's feeling a bit burnt out and unfulfilled with his work. He's thinking about changing jobs and going into photography full-time, and he wants to know if that's a good idea, and what pitfalls should he avoid, Chase?
All right, question is about burnout, but here's the thing. I don't believe that burnout, it's not really like the thing that you're doing necessarily. It's a mindset. It's a mindset about, are you pursuing something that you're very passionate about? And it's sort of like, if you moved houses and you moved from LA to San Francisco, are you going to all of a sudden have this huge new burst of energy? And I don't think that's true. And if you're just looking for something to move out of, if you're running away from something rather than to something, I think you're going to be in for a surprise. So I would suggest, first and foremost, that it's not about, you know, moving from the thing that you're doing to some other thing randomly, because there's some market opportunity. You got to scratch your own itch. That's what do you care about doing? If you're just moving from one thing to another thing, the burnout is going to travel with you. If it's not something that you're especially passionate about, that you can see a whole new world of invigorated energy, then it's just, you're just sort of moving on to the next thing for the sake of moving, and that pain will follow. So first and foremost, I said I was going to say first and foremost less in one of the earlier recordings, so I'm going to stop saying that. You need to decide for yourself what's in here. The answers aren't out there. It's not about moving from one random creative discipline to another. It's what do you care about, and how can you apply yourself with your soul to that thing. Now, do not tell yourself lies. It is very easy to do that if you move there, you're going to just have all this new stuff. Honestly, take more time while you're in burnout phase to think about what you care about next. What's your next thing? What's the thing that you care about? And ideally, if there are some things that you learned in your first thing, how can you translate those skills into the new thing that you're excited about such that you'd have a little bit of a head start? Don't chase market opportunity. Find out what you really love. And when you get there, make sure that that is like the thing that you want to be doing. All right. Anything else to add to that?
How do you recharge your batteries?
How do you recharge your... Okay, that's a great thing. So NASA is asking, how do you recharge your batteries? Which is, we're just going to keep this thing going. I find a couple of things especially valuable to recharge your batteries when you're in burnout. Among them, get completely away from the thing. Go get into adventures. I don't care if adventures are... go on a long walk every day or take a hike. I like to travel and far distances and go off the grid a little bit such that you can have time and space for introspection, because that's the biggest, like that's the hardest thing. When you're amidst chaos, that's not where great things happen. You have to go away in order to synthesize the ideas that are in here and in here. You have to put them together, and a little bit of time and space is the best medicine for that. So what can you do? You know, while still paying your bills, I understand this is hard. No one said it was easy, but what can you do to give yourself some space? Get into adventures, and it's those adventures that fuel this, and it's this and this that actually, if you put that into your work, will give you great joy, and at the same time will differentiate you from all the other millions of folks out there trying to make a hustle buck in the same way that you are. So that is super valuable. If you want your questions answered and you are aspiring or professional creative, I've been around the block a little bit, been doing this for a while. I got friends that have been around the block. I got this, I got the internet at my fingertips. Ask me your question. I will answer the best that I can. And if you're from another country, you can participate too. You have to dial 802-962-4357. If you're calling internationally, I've seen all kinds of stuff in my feed, like I'm calling from Denmark. How do I do that? You just have to put a +1 in front of the number. That's like the U.S. country code. So do that.
Excellent. Thanks again, Chase. And that phone number again, 802-962-4357. You can find Chase Jarvis and everything he does at chasejarvis.com or creativelive.com. And that's about it for this episode of Entrepreneur Radio. Also, do not forget, you can find all of our podcasts at entrepreneur.com. There are so many awesome podcasts there, not only from just Entrepreneur Radio, but many, many entrepreneurial-type podcasts. Even our editor-in-chief, Jason, has a couple of podcasts there. So check it out, entrepreneur.com. I'm Alan Taylor. It is now your turn to go out and make it a great day. Make a difference in somebody else's life. We'll see you next time.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.